To the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, we're going to continue our study in the book of Genesis. And the Lord's table will follow our message this evening. Genesis chapter 17, I'd like for us to read verses 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. Beginning in verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we ask and pray now that you would fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Anoint the word of God with your power, we pray, O Spirit of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask. Amen. Back in chapter 16, we find that Abram and Sarai took matters into their own hands with the birth of Ishmael to Hagar, and Abraham's trouble, his problem was that he grew a little bit impatient, and Sarai as well. Impatience can likewise be the cause of disobedience in your life and in my life. That's why Hebrews 10:36 teaches us that we need to be patient. We need to be patient. But God in his graciousness reaffirms to Abraham that he will provide a son from his loins, and he will give him a land for his family. And this is the focus of chapter 17. Abraham here within this chapter, the Bible teaches us, is 99 years of age. 13 years have passed since the birth of Ishmael, and for 13 years he receives no word from the Lord. But now God speaks once again. Now it's interesting that as we study Genesis chapter 17, we'll find from verses 1 to 16 that God does all the talking. God does all the talking. We have within this passage what we refer to as the Abrahamic covenant, an unconditional commitment that God made to Abraham and to his descendants that would have eternal benefits and blessing. So we find within Genesis chapter 17 that God weaves the various threads of his promise that he has already made in chapter 12 and chapter 15 into one comprehensive covenant, contract, commitment. And it's important that we note that very fact. And as I've said, verses 1 to 16, we find that God does all the talking. The Bible teaches us that we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. So as we study this passage of Scripture, let's see what God had to say to Abraham. And let's see what we can learn from this wonderful passage of Scripture. Chapter 17 is a critical chapter when it comes to the commitment that God had made to this man of God. Now I'd like for us to note first and foremost in the third verse concerning how Abraham received this contract or this commitment. Note then the third verse, the Bible reads that Abraham fell on his face. Abraham fell on his face, with his face to the ground. God gives to this man of God, in summary form, yet with great detail, his commitment to the descendants of Abraham. And I'd like to stress the fact, first and foremost, if you and I are serious about wanting to hear from God, there needs to be a spirit of humility. There needs to be a spirit of humility. While God does all the talking, in verses 1 to 16, Abraham is flat on his face, conveying humility before his God. See, humility softens our hearts. And if our hearts are softened, then we have the greatest potential to receive God's word with thanksgiving. Pride hardens the heart. Pride is a hardening element. Humility softens the heart. And we see from Abraham a softening, a spirit of humility, as we find him on his face before Almighty God, as God speaks and affirms his commitment on his behalf. The Bible teaches us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Church family this evening, do you want to hear from God? God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we're sincere about wanting to hear from God, then we need to be clothed in humility. Our Lord Jesus, the chief of servants, the greatest example of servanthood that we know of and will ever know of, the Bible teaches us that he was clothed in humility. And as Abraham, with his face to the ground, conveyed a spirit of humility. Humility leads to softening, a softening of the heart. When our hearts are softened, we can be receptive to the Word of God. He must increase, I must decrease, said John the Baptist. The greatest man that walked on planet Earth outside of the Lord Jesus himself was clothed in humility. So we find first and foremost this evening that Abraham was humble before God. Secondly, I'd like for us to note this evening that God, as God spoke to Abraham, God addresses himself with a variety of names that reveal to us our God and his greatness. Now note there in verse number 1 that it reads that the Lord, capital letters, L-O-R-D, appeared to Abraham. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Whenever you read Lord in capital, each letter capitalized, that is the Hebrew word translated Jehovah. Jehovah appeared to Abraham. Jehovah appeared to this man of God. The name Jehovah means the self-existent one, the eternal one. And whenever the name Jehovah is used, translated Lord in our English Bible, it's referring to the eternal personal God. The eternal personal God. That personal element is there in Jehovah. It conveys that God is not only eternal, God is personal. And as God spoke to Abraham, he was saying to Abraham, I am the self-existent,
the eternal, personal God. And no wonder Abraham was in humility on his face before God. The personal God of the Old Testament, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Note there in John chapter 8, please, verse number 56. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse number 56. The Lord Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And that's affirmed here in John chapter 8. Jehovah appeared to Abraham there in Genesis chapter 17. And note here in 56 it reads, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. This is the Lord Jesus. He said, rejoiced to see my day. He saw me in his day, Abraham, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? How is it possible? You're not even 50 years of age. And you say that Abraham saw you and was pleased? And then the Lord Jesus went on to say in verse 58, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The I am, the self-existent one, the eternal one, Jehovah. And God spoke to Abraham and said, I am the Lord. The Bible teaches us the Lord appeared to Abraham. So the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And Jesus Christ said before these Jewish people, before Abraham was, before even Abraham existed, I have always existed. I am the great I am. So he points back to the book of Exodus where God appeared to Moses in that burning bush and said, I am the I am. So Jehovah of the Old Testament is the self-existent, the eternal, personal God. And this is God that appears to Abraham. I trust that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. For He is Jehovah. He is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He spoke to Abraham in this passage of Scripture. The Bible teaches us that he appeared unto him and said. If you go back to Genesis chapter 17, you'll note that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him. Also note here that he said unto him, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the Almighty God. So as Abraham is flat on his face before Almighty God, and God speaks to him, he introduces himself as the Lord. The Lord appeared unto him and said, I am the Almighty God. Almighty God. El Shaddai in Hebrews. El, God, Shaddai, power. God powerful, I am the all-powerful one. I am not only the self-existent one, I am not only the eternal one, I am not only a personal God, but I am also the all-powerful God. And Abraham needed that reminder, did he not? Time is passing by. He's almost 100 years of age and yet God hasn't come through yet with its promised son. So God in his infinite wisdom had to remind Abraham that, hey, I am the Almighty. I am the God of the impossible. And whenever that phrase is found within the Old Testament, Almighty God, El Shaddai, it's mentioned some 48 times within the Old Testament scriptures. And each time it conveys the idea that God has the ability to do the impossible and provide abundantly. He is not only the all-knowing God, the all-present God, He is the all-powerful God. And this is the God. This is the God that Abraham found himself before on his face. The Lord Jehovah, the self-existent personal God who is all-powerful. The power belongeth unto God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh no. Our God is a big God. How big is your God this evening? How big is your God this evening? With God, all things are possible. So may God grant us the grace to trust Him, to do that which is impossible. Abraham had given the evidence of unbelief one too many times. So God, in His infinite wisdom, as He comprehensively pulls together this covenant of commitment to Abraham, God in His wisdom introduces Himself and said, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. There is no other God beside me. I am God and I am the all-powerful God. And Abraham needed that reminder. And beloved, this evening, we need that reminder, do we not? That our God is not a small God. Our God is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. He is the and only Almighty God. Wow, what a privilege it would have been for Abraham to be flat on his face before God who said, I am the Almighty God. I am Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one, the personal Almighty God. We serve a big God. And church family this evening, may God just renew our minds this evening concerning the bigness of God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh no, because He is the Almighty God. And may the Lord increase our faith to rest in His power to do that which is impossible for you and I. The one that can do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. That's our God. That's El Shaddai. God, all-powerful. That's our Jehovah. The eternal, personal God is all-powerful. But also note then verse number 3. It teaches us that God talked with him. So note this, in verse number 1 it talks about the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. He appeared, he said, and now in verse number 3 it teaches us that God talked with him. So you didn't believe me that God's personal. Well, I know you did. The Bible teaches that. God appeared, God said, God talked. This is Jehovah God. He is personal God. And whenever we refer to the Lord, we're referring to the fact that He is Jehovah, He is eternal, He is very personal, and He wants to walk with you and I, and He wants to be known intimately and personally in your life. And here in verse number 3, the Bible teaches us that God talked with him. The name God, the most familiar name for God in the Scriptures, God. Most common name for God. Capital G, little O, little D. This is the word translated Elohim. Elohim. The name of God that reflects more than one plurality. The mystery of the Old Testament is fulfilled and made evident in the New Testament that God is one, yet three persons within the Godhead. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, please, verse 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1. Note the usage of the word God here to convey this thought of plurality, unity. More than one, but yet one. Note then verse 27. And verse 26. Let's read verse 26. It reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So connect those two verses together in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Then connect that with verse 27, and God, singular, and God created man in his own image. This name is the plural name for God, the Elohim, and conveys the fact that God is unified as one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A mystery within the pages of the Old Testament. But there, very clearly, in a sense, within the name Elohim. Plural for God. But this doctrine of the triune yet one God is clearly spelled out within the pages of the New Testament. So we see as God addressed Abraham, he addressed them as, I am Jehovah, I am Lord, I am Lord Almighty God, I am the self-existent, personal, all-powerful God. And here by the name God, he talked to Abraham and he reflected the fact that God is not only eternal, God is not only personal, God is not only powerful, that is all powerful, that God is unified, God is one, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Abraham, we make this commitment to you, and we will make this commitment as a unified one. That's the emphasis. The triune God is involved in this covenant known as the Abrahamic covenant. And that's very important to note that very fact. Elohim, Jehovah, El Shaddai, all involved in making this unconditional, eternal contract covenant with this man of God. What a commitment. God is fully committed to this man of God. And it's by no coincidence that the name God, Elohim, is used here in talking to Abraham concerning this commitment. So we see within God's names, Lord, Jehovah, Almighty God, El Shaddai, God, Elohim, we see that the God of Abraham an heir and the child of God that has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a child of Abraham spiritually, and the God of Abraham is the God of Abraham's descendants in a spiritual sense, the all-powerful, personal, eternal, triune God is your God, and He is my God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is a big God. And I'd like to encourage you this evening that as Abraham, on his face before God, in humility, God revealed to him that, hey, I am no small God, I am no little God, I am the eternal, personal, almighty, triune God. Trust me, I can do the impossible. You don't have a son as yet, but your son's coming. Just trust me, I am the El Shaddai. And child of God this evening, may God cause us to just trust Him. We serve a big God. How big is your God? How big is your God? Well, the God of Abraham, which is the God of the Bible, which is the God of every blood-bought child of God, is the eternal, personal, all-powerful, triune God. He's a big God. It's about time that the children of God really believe that. And it's about time the people of God cleave unto that very fact. In humility. That it's not of us. It's of God. And if God, unless God is in it, we labour in vain. So how big is your God this evening? How big is your God this evening? There's Abraham, flat on his face, in humility, and God introduces himself, not by one name, but three names, conveying the greatness of God. And as we spend these few moments around our Lord's table this evening, may God help us to reflect on the greatness of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Jehovah of the Old Testament Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ is the self-existent, personal God. The Lord Jesus Christ is almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. May God help us as we partake at our Lord's table this evening to reflect on the greatness of God. Our God is the eternal, personal, all-powerful, triune God. We serve a big God. How big is your God? I don't know what you're going through, but I'd like to encourage you this evening. God is big. He's El Shaddai. He is Elohim. He is the Lord. The Lord. He's personal. He's eternal. He's all-powerful. He's the triune God. He's a big God. I'd like to encourage you this evening, as we spend these few moments around our Lord's table, to just focus upon the greatness of God. That our God is not a little God, it's a big God. And if we really believe that, then we will trust Him, will we not? Let's bow for prayer.